This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence, your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. The sun kind of came out, maybe. I don't know. Welcome to Backspin Golf. And because we're all being responsible, we are doing this in a way where we don't have to sit next to each other, which I don't like because when we do Backspin Golf, I like to sit actually next to Perry French. And I can't do that. I have to talk to him on the phone. I don't like it, but it's the way it has to be. So we adapt and go on. Good morning, Perry French.
Good morning, Matthew. It is an unusual time in our lives, but we'll make the best of it.
Well, one of the great things that about this is that Backspin Golf is a big part of our Sundays, and we still get to do that because even though no PGA golf is being played, and let's start here. One of the great things about golf is, and we've been talking about this a lot, especially here in Central Kentucky, maybe the safest place you can be is on a golf course. And for all of us that play and love the game, that's a really good thing, right?
Well, there's no question. It is, again, as odd as that is, the salvation could be the game of golf becomes a new pastime for hopefully a lot of people to enjoy at least getting through this the best they can to save some of their craziness that comes with being cooped up. But you're right. It's a neat opportunity for the game of golf to maybe find its way back into people's lives as well, too. And that's what I'm hoping for as a person who's been in golf all his life, that it gets people back to the game. Maybe for a lot of us, it gets us back to walking and playing golf again, things of that nature. You know, there's part of the social distancing, sharing a golf cart. It's actually some ideas that we kind of tossed around is that if you and I are playing together, when we both have our clubs on the cart, you walk, I ride, we share, we do that opposite holes, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a great way to get some exercise, you know, and then certainly keep the distancing, but also, you know, you have the cart being, you know, the caddy piece of that puzzle. Mm-hmm. Or if it's just getting a pull cart or going out and buying a pull cart and push cart and getting into true, you know, walking and doing it that way. I think that's again, if there's a silver lining, I'm going to go with that right there. The game of golf certainly can be played, weather permitting, and the like. That it does fall inside the guidelines. And the good news from the government standpoint, you know, all the businesses being closed and the non-essential businesses, golf has fallen out inside the guidelines that it's okay because with proper, you know, practices, you can maintain a very safe environment. So
right.
Let's hope that people take advantage of that and start, you know, it's springtime. It's hopefully the weather is going to break enough here. We're going to get our golf games going, and there's going to be golf played, right? So
right.
Let's speak about what we need to do to play better golf this year again, right?
Yep, and I know because I've been out there since this all started. Our great Lexington Park and Rec golf courses, the guys, Brent and all the guys, oh, Justin, everybody out at these golf courses, they are really being very careful about wiping down the golf carts,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
numerous times throughout the day and making sure even that part of it is safe. If you're on the steering wheel on a golf cart, they're they're taking really good care and making sure everything is the way it's supposed to be.
And when you're playing, there's no reason for you to have to take the pin out to play play a game. And there's no reason to do that practice. If you haven't practiced or played golf with the pin in, get used to it now.
Yeah.
It can be pretty, if you have a whole lot of want to try it out, do the socially proper thing. I'm hearing there may be some things that are going on that may evolve, and that's actually some facilities will be actually raising the cup inner liners, so the holder of the cup, right, will actually be raised above the surface of the green. I haven't quite understood this, but you're going to pull the flag sticks out, so that basically your putt, once it hits the cup, will be deemed in. So it's kind of an unusual way to play golf, again, not reaching in and grabbing the golf ball out of the cup, people's hands, of course. You know, bring hand sanitizer, certainly if that's something that you can bring yourself and do that. But there may be some variations in the way the golf course is set up when you get there. But
yeah,
get out, swing the golf club, play golf, enjoy some fresh air, enjoy some socialization,
right?
and get that part of it going, and also take the time to maybe work on your short game so the ball doesn't go directly in the cup. You still have to practice all those different shots, being able to chip the ball and roll it close to the hole and get your game in shape. That doesn't affect your ability to improve your golf game.
Yeah. Now this brings us to, by the way, I want to share with you something pretty ironic, and it just goes to everything that's happening. One of the apps I have on my phone is the Golf Channel app. And every time this morning I've tried to pull it up, it kicks me off. I mean, isn't that ironic? All my other apps are working except this golf one. I don't,
well,
you know.
Maybe it's being downloaded so much that it's causing a
maybe. Maybe. Okay, let's talk about chipping. We love, you are such a big part of this show, but we're always trying to help people with different parts of their games, and the great, right, obviously the great clubs and balls we have with Cleveland Golf and Strixon Golf, and you know, we Zexio Golf, we all know about that. But
right,
you found something that I think is really interesting and might help some people as we get out and practice during this time.
Right. I'm always looking for articles and certainly see what the best teachers are talking about. And this happens to be one that's not from a best teacher, but probably the best player ever. And it's an article that Tiger Woods did for Golf Digest. He's there now. He's kind of there playing, playing, teaching tour guy, or whatever his title is with
right,
him. And he puts in some little articles about what he does, what's his technique. And I think a lot of people think, well, how can I do that? He's Tiger Woods. He's the best player in the world. Why would I try to do what he does? And like I tell people in the short game clinics we do, if the best players in the world are doing it, your best way to prepare is try to do what they do.
Yeah.
Copy them.
Hello.
Follow what they're doing. You may not have the highest level of execution with it, but there's a reason they're doing it. You know, they're the research and development team as well. They've done this, and they've tried a lot of different ways. But the one thing I thought that was neat about Tiger's chipping clinic, and we all know when Tiger came back from his original, his back surgery, he was struggling with his chipping. He definitely had the chipping yips, if you will, right?
Yeah, he did.
And all the kind of the, I guess we'll call them the little jokes that were made about his quads not engaging and all that. And the fact of the matter is, he was struggling with the chipping, and a lot of us, and I've played golf a couple of times during the last couple of weeks, and my chipping has been very average, and certainly less than I would expect for myself, but it is a lot of things relative to the conditions. It's the fact that I haven't been practicing coming out of winter. I haven't really been doing much of that aspect because of work and all this craziness, but you know what? You have to find a way to get through your struggles, any part of your game, and the chipping part that he I guess alludes to is really pretty simple. I think if people do this first and foremost, they probably will have more quickly better. And that is, he swings his short games. His quote is, "My short game motion is a miniature version of my full swing." Well, there you go.
There you go.
Why do people try to create some kind of funky swing when they have a shot that's 40 yards from the green? Okay, if you're 100 yards shot from the green hitting your full wedge, you would swing it that one way. Why would you change when you go to that? So keep it consistent. I think that's a really good tip, just to start right there. The one thing that we do see as we get closer to the green is the feet start getting closer together. That's the only modification. But as far as swinging the golf club, try to just keep in the same sync of what you've been doing, things that you already know and understand. That's a really good point I thought you made there. You know, secondly, you know, when you're striking the ball solid, that, whether it's with your wedge, your driver, your seven iron, and even your putter, that breeds confidence. And that's what you're looking for and striving for, is to do what you can to create that solid contact.
Yep.
However, the mystery that it is, that is our golf games from game to game, from hole to hole, when you find that thing that says, boy, I did this, and the solid contact came, that trial and error scenario, stay with that. Don't go changing for the sake of changing. You found the contact point. You found what you're looking for. Now, the one variable in chipping that is very unique to the game of golf, much different than hitting your driver off a fairly level tee box and on a tee, is your technique will have to change based on the lie that you're
right.
given and enforce the conditions.
The conditions.
That's the biggest adjustment. Yeah. That's the biggest adjustments players need to make. And that's the one thing that challenges us as golfers when we're playing, is that, you know, they'll say, well, I'm really good when I have a chip and run shot and the ball on the green in front of me, no trouble. But when the bunker's in front of me, I freeze up. Well, that's part of the game of golf. You need to get yourself into a routine that gets you through that, I'll say fear, but that lack of confidence more than anything when you are faced with that particular shot.
Well, that's it's fear for me, okay? It's fear. Just say it.
It's the crazy. What fear is it? Like something's going to jump out of the bunker and get you.
I guess, yeah. The bunker boogeyman, yeah.
Exactly. But the fear is, you know, and I have a kind of this fun little thing I do with the golfers in their circlets, I said, yeah, you know, if you hit that approach shot towards the green and it's going towards the bunker, and the first thing I hear out of these people's mouth is, don't go in the bunker, don't
right.
go in the bunker, you know? And you get up there and you got your wish. The ball has stopped 3 feet short of the bunker, and now you have an 8-foot pitch over the bunker to a short side to spin. You've given yourself the hardest shot left in golf. And if the ball had rolled into the bunker, you'd have probably one of the most consistently easy shots to make in golf. So, get yourself to the bunker, practice your bunker shots, learn how to set your weight to the lead side and hold your weight there, and practice increasing your swing speed to get the speed to get the ball out of the sand and onto the green. And you'll find yourself hitting a lot better shots and not having the hardest shot left in golf. And that's the short-sided pitch over a bunker.
Right.
So it's kind of a unique thing. But I think Tiger gives a couple of real things, real easy things to remember. Manage your golf swing. That's the first thing. You know, the last thing he said was read your chip like a putt. When you're faced with a chip shot, if you could put your putt in your hand, how would the ball roll?
Mm-hmm.
And your goal with that chipping is to get the ball on the green, rolling like a putt as quickly as possible based on the conditions in front of you. Obviously, how much you have to carry the ball on the green, the slope, and all those things. But if you could stand at that one point and put the ball on the green and putt it, that's what you're trying to get to. See yourself on the green to putt the ball in the hole, from whether you have to land it 25 feet short of the pin or 10 feet short of the pin or to 10 feet to the right of the pin.
Right.
Whatever that view in that shot leaves you, that's the way you need to approach the visualization of that shot. And then you play a shot to roll into the condition and then roll and settle itself out of the cup. So those are real simple things that I think sometimes we just try to make too much of it.
And you're right.
But
this is the perfect time for people to practice chipping. Even if you can't go out and actually play, go.
Right.
We have so many Man of War Golf. Go over to Man of War Golf and practice your chipping.
Right, right.
So great.
They got a great short game over there. If you're on the tee line and hitting shots, don't just hit the driver for 30, 45
right.
minutes. Stop and hit you some pitch shots and try to practice your distance control and get that sensation.
Right.
Miniaturize your swing. Go from a full swing driver, work your way down to a 7-iron, down to a 5-iron, or 5-iron to a 7-iron, and down to a pitching wedge, and then down to a chip shot. And try to keep yourself in that same mode as keeping that swing a miniature version of your full swing.
Thank you,
and
Tiger.
Hopefully you'll have more, and have more contact that's solid. I mean, you make solid contact with all of your shots, good things are going to happen.
Right.
And that's really what we're trying to get to. So.
All right. Before I let you go, because he stole you from me, you want to say hi to Chris Mascaro? You want to say hi?
Hey, Chris Mascaro. Good to follow you. I'm next on the tee.
Yes, next absolutely. On the tee. incredible podcast, our buddy Chris Mascaro. All right. I'll talk to you next week. I don't know if I'll see you. Let's. How about you and I go out and play golf together? How about
now
that?
That is a great idea, and we're going to. Let's put that on the docket.
Okay. Cool.
If the weatherman gives us a break, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Do that. Take advantage of it.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye. Right.
Bye.
Bye. Sean and I like it better when we're sitting next to each other, but this is okay. It's good to hear his voice. It's comforting to me. It's like everything's all right. Kind of. Same way I feel when I hear your voice over and over and over again. All right. When we come back, our great friend Jeff Babineau is going to join us. And I can't wait to talk to him. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.
Welcome back. The one constant, maybe not for everybody, but for many of us through these tough times, is golf. Even though the tour is not playing and we'll talk about this a little bit more. But one of the other things that is helping me get through this is having Backspin Golf, where we can talk golf and other things with the people that I most enjoy talking to. And Jeff Babineau is certainly one of them. My respect for him is boundless. That's all I'll say. And I'm not just saying it because, you know, he's on with me now. Hi, Jeff.
You're a kind man, Matthew.
Yeah, that's about the nicest thing people call me, but I appreciate it. Jeff is now the senior writer at morningread.com. And peeps, if you have not checked out morningread.com, you really should. And you got plenty of time to do it. So trust me, Jeff, tell us a little about Morning Read. It's fantastic. It really is a great website.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate that. It's Alex Maselli started it. He and I used to work at Golf Week together.
Yep.
Alex, he's got a good business mind, and he knows there's an appetite out there for people like us who love the game, who like to read about different topics with the game. We don't really always try to run with the pack. You know, we try to give you something different.
Yeah.
Only a couple stories a day, so it's pretty easy to digest and read and then maybe go out and hit some pellets yourself.
Now, tell everybody where you are, first of all.
Well, I'm in Orlando, Florida. I was right in the middle of the Florida swing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was up at the Players. I was planning to be at Valspar, which is a sleepy little great tournament
in
the Tampa area. You know, working our way up toward the Masters. And I was there on Friday morning up at the Players when the music died.
Can you that's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought of that before. That just made me sad. Okay. just for a couple of minutes, tell us exactly. You were there, and most of us listening obviously weren't. We all watched and then sat kind of with our mouths open when all this fell apart and everything. What was it like to actually be there when it happened?
Yeah, well, I was up there most of the week. I was home Friday morning watching Jay Monahan on TV.
Ah, okay.
I'd watching it unfold all week. You know, it was an amazing week, really. You know, it started with such great promise with Jay announcing the new tour deals with their media deals.
Yep.
You know, the rights deal, streaming going forward, big, you know, 9 years.
Yeah.
Takes them to 1930 with all, you know, $12 billion of revenues committed. So there was great excitement. You know, you had the Players, you have this great field on the grounds. And, you know, by the time he went to a reception on Wednesday night and got a text that the NBA season had stopped, to dinner time, just one day earlier, you know, 24 hours later,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the whole sports world shut down.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was a lot of real-time decisions. I thought Jay Monahan did a great job with each one, kind of assessing where they were, what they could do, what the prudent thing would be going forward. And that meant on Friday morning to say, look, the optics just wouldn't be right for one, and there are some safety issues. So we're going to call off the tour, and you know, as we've seen it unfold, it's now, you know, I think May 21 is the next time we possibly could see the tour back in action.
Yeah, you know, and he, what all of us forget to remember is this isn't an impossible situation for the people in charge. He took a lot of heat for, because we saw, okay, we're closed. The gates were still open. There were people on the course, but tomorrow we're not going to have spectators. And he took a lot of heat during that period. But in real time, what he was trying to do, looking back at it now, he did handle it probably the best way he could have.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really look across the board right now, and you really have some strong leadership in golf.
Yeah.
You know, Monahan has had a spotlight on him, obviously, with what went on at the Players, and that's, you know, he, as he calls it, that's their Super Bowl, so it's gut-wrenching to call that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you've seen Mike Wann step up with the LPGA.
Fantastic.
And Seth Waugh, who used to work closely with Jay Monahan when they both were at the Deutsche Bank Championship outside Boston. You know, those two kind of grew up a little bit in the golf business together. And they work, you know, Seth being at the PGA and now trying to find solutions with what they're going to do with the PGA Championship. So I'm glad that golf has some great leadership to kind of maybe get in a room at some point and take this, all these puzzle pieces and,
yeah,
and fit it together and see what we can salvage maybe later this year.
Yeah.
You know, if it takes watching a Masters in the fall, I mean, I think we'll take that in a second.
Oh,
right now.
We're all in.
We're all in.
We're speaking with Jeff Babineau of MorningRead.com and an incredible writing career all the way through with Golf Week and so many other places. One of the great things, as I said, and I've talked about this on our daily show, there aren't many places now that are as safe or as, I don't know what word to use, healthy as a golf course. I'm not sure. Tell us what's going on. Our courses here, our five great city golf courses, are open. And they're taking all kinds of precautions with wiping down the carts constantly. They're letting people take carts out separately, which is fantastic. But there aren't many places better to be than a golf course right now. You're not surrounded by people, and you're outside, and you're getting exercise, and you're, I mean, is it the same way down there?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's, you know, the weather's beautiful. As you say, you know, that's why I think the tour thought they could play last week, because you're out there in 400 acres, right, walking around.
Right.
You can have some social distancing, but we have a popular little nine-holer not far from me, in Winter Park, that closed the other day, and I was kind of surprised. I understand the concerns for, you know, being in the shop or closing a restaurant in a clubhouse, things like that. But yeah, as you say, the great outdoors. I mean, let give us something. I mean, I haven't been playing golf the last few weeks, but it's kind of in my heart. It's encouraging to know I could go out and do it if I want to.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's so many things in our lives right now that are shut down. You can't go to your favorite restaurant or bar. Or,
yep.
There's so many things. So, to me, that's one thing. I mean, the hope inside that kind of keeps me a little positive in these strange, different times.
You know, I want to talk to you. You're a Boston fan, right?
I am.
Through and through. With all Boston sports teams, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, we're going to get back to golf in a minute, but Brady, feelings about TBTB, as we're calling him now, Tampa Bay Tom Brady. Feelings?
Yeah, I mean, an emotional run of, at the end of the year, just hearing him entertain the thought that he might play elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, nothing but grateful here. I mean, what a run. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I have three boys. The youngest is 19. He's seen nothing but titles you know? I grew up, the Red Sox were awful, the Patriots were a joke. I mean, the Celtics would mix in a banner every now and then. You know, we had that bird guy.
Yeah.
But, man, it was lean times. And Tom Brady just, you know, he made it so people couldn't stand the Patriots because he won that much. So, you know, I had nothing but admiration for that guy. It's kind of cool. I'm 90 minutes from now to go watch a game in Tampa Bay.
Oh.
I'll certainly go do that.
Oh, well, yeah. You know? Okay. Well, that's good. And the funny thing is now we're seeing, because the NFL is really all those of us that cover sports have to talk about right now.
Yeah, right.
With everything.
Right.
Yeah. You know, all these guys are now, all these players are going, you know, I think I want to go to Tampa Bay. That'd be a good place to be. So
yeah.
We're already seeing the effects of that. Let's get back to golf for a second. One of the really cool things about all sports, because we don't have live sports to watch, they're showing, like on the Golf Channel, we're seeing all this content come across for everything. NFL, basketball, I watched some of it, you know, I watched the 2006 Big East first round game the other day because there was nothing wow. else on. But golf and Golf Channel are, you know, we're so lucky that we have access to so many great final rounds of tournaments, you know, going way back. At least we have that.
Yeah, I enjoy that because I don't remember things probably like I should. you know, and then you'll watch something and it'll trigger memories and places you were. And it is great. It's that's what's so cool about golf is just the great tradition of it. That's why it's going to be so strange if we wrap around and have some of these majors later in the year to kind of squeeze them in.
Yeah.
I saw in my local paper today, it said 127 days until the Olympics. I don't think we have much hope for that.
Yeah.
The next tour event on the schedule, as we said, you know, third week of May, don't have a lot of promise for that.
Yeah.
We kind of dive into a little bit of history and watch some of these guys and, it is cool to see.
You know, one of the other great things, too, is with as many things wrong with social media as there are, and there are plenty, we all know about that, we have guys posting videos, Max Homa, for example, who's great and very funny, and some of these guys are really now starting to put videos out and different things. There are a lot of the instructors who, by the way, I have a very close friend named Tom Patry who – I'm not sure. Yeah. And he's down there in Florida. And these pros that run golf schools and, you know, their living depends on giving lessons and golf schools are getting killed right now with this thing. Speaking, you know, to Tom about this, I just lost the thought because I thought about Tom and all these golf pros that depend on that for their living, like so many other people in life, you know, are kind of struggling now to figure out what to do. And online, that's what I wanted to say, online, if you want golf tips, they're always there, but especially now, these pros who are self-quarantining are doing fantastic work online. Now.
Yeah, and really when we talk about supporting your local economy.
Yes.
I mean, wouldn't it be great at these times if we can to support your local PGA pro?
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know if I shared the story, but you know, Tom used to I was dumb enough as a freshman at Florida Southern College to think I could play golf there. And Tom used to be my ride to the golf course.
Oh.
Here's Tom, a Division II national champion. You know, being so nice to a piddly little freshman who didn't have a car or a golf game, really.
Wow. Oh, so, this is the kind of stuff I love. I love that.
Yeah. So we've always had that connection, and I really admire him and what his passion for golf. That's the thing. These guys, Billy Harm and Tom Patry, these guys who've been doing it, they have such a passion for what they do. It's not, they don't punch in and punch out, man. They live it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you know, we have some free time now, a lot of us. And we do have the ability to go out there and hit balls, certainly a lot more than 6 feet away from other people. So
yeah,
why not go out there and call your local pro and get something done in this time of,
yep,
you know,
it's a great
sitting
point
around. And so, there's only so many leaves you can rake.
That's it. Good point. All right. I'm so grateful to you and to all of the people that I get to talk to on this show. It's great to check in with you, and we'll catch up with you along the way and figure out, you know, things to talk about. You're a great one, Jeff, and I really appreciate you being with us. Stay safe.
Thanks. I always enjoy visiting with you. Thanks a lot. And you all stay right. Safe as well.
We will. Thanks, pal. See ya.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Wow. Jeff Babineau. Peep, seriously, morningread.com. And it's fantastic. They have not only Jeff, but Alex Maselli, as he said, is a fantastic writer. There are just some great things there. It's morningread.com. All right, we'll be back. This is Backspin Golf. We're going to be joined by TJ O'Clair of the Caddying Network. We'll find out what the caddies are doing now on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. As I always say, but especially now in times like this, I'm always grateful for my friends that I get to talk to about golf or really about anything. And that's certainly the case with my pal TJ O'Clair. This is just wrong. Director of content for at Caddy Network. I mean, really, it's so much more than that. All of his great work at PGA.com. I should write all the bios for all my friends, TJ. Because you guys, you're all the same. You never give yourself the credit that you deserve. I mean, it's ridiculous, really.
Well, I appreciate that.
How are you doing? You're in Rhode Island. How are you doing up there?
Yeah, you know, we're doing well. I've got my two little boys and my wife here with me. The boys are 6 and 4, which is crazy to me. But
yeah,
you know,
wait,
time is flowing
wait,
that fast. Hopefully.
Wait, pal, wait. You think it's crazy, dude? Wait till I get to be 16 and 14. Wait.
Yeah, I'm sure. So it's, you know, it's obviously a very scary time right now. There's really, that's the only way you can put it. And I feel like we just have to listen to what we're being told to do to hopefully make this thing pass. But I mean, it really blows my mind that, you know, a week ago today, we were playing golf down at TPC Sawgrass.
Yeah.
I mean, not we, but the PGA Tour. I mean, it's just,
right,
it's crazy how much things can change so quickly.
Yeah. No, that's well said. And it's absolutely right. You know, I was just on this week's show with Jeff Babineau, who I know you know. And he was saying the same thing. He was there, you know, at the Players all week last week, and all of a sudden, it's hard to believe, really, that it's a week ago. I mean, really hard to believe.
I remember I saw a tweet last night from Kyle Porter over at CBS Sports that, mm-hmm, you know, it was a little funny how he said, does everybody remember 6 years ago when the NBA postponed the season last Wednesday?
Yeah.
That's how it felt. It really, you know, it's
that's a good way to put
tough,
it.
but I know we're going to get through this. And, you know, I think you and I had a conversation before we came on the air,
mm-hmm,
just about how we're going to appreciate what we have and how much grateful we'll be once this is through.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully that is the good that comes out of it.
Yep. One of the great things among many about the Caddy Network and all the stories that are up and that we can read and listen to these guys because of our phone cameras and everything, now more than ever, this is the kind of thing that's going to get us through. Not only with golf, but different musicians doing free concerts from their houses. But one of the great things is listening to the caddies tell stories kind of to pass the time, and we get to hear them. Do you have, are there a couple that you can share with us that you really enjoyed?
Yeah, you know, I've been going kind of through the inventory of things that we have right now, and it's it brings back some great memories. For instance, last year, one of my favorite stories was at Colonial when Kevin Na won the tournament. You may remember they had the classic Dodge Challenger that they were giving to the winner of the tournament.
Yes, yeah.
The 1973 Challenger. And when the week started, Kevin Na's caddy, Kenny Harms, who's one of the funniest follows on Instagram, he's been around forever. He's caddied for, you know, some of the best players in history, Hale Irwin, among them, Ray Floyd. And he's been with Kevin for a long time. So when they were walking around the course during the practice rounds, he saw the car out there and he said to Kevin, if you win this week, you're giving me that car because I would look a lot cooler in it than you would. So, you know, they kind of joke about it. The week goes on, Kevin's playing great, and he makes this putt on 18 to close out the tournament, and he immediately looks at Kenny and he points at the car and he says, that's yours. So as Kenny tells me a couple days later, he said, you know, I'm kind of feeling a little lousy about taking that car right now. And I said, well, you know, why is that? He said, well, Colonial and Schwab, who sponsors the tournament, he said they had a caddy gift for the winning caddy. It was actually a two-year lease on a Lexus. So he said during the award ceremony, he's standing alongside Kevin, and the guy that restored that 73 Challenger is standing next to them, and Kevin says, you know, out of curiosity, you know, how much is that thing worth? So the guy said something to the effect of, well, I think we put about $250,000 worth of work in. And as soon as he said that, Kevin looked at Kenny and he said, are you kidding me? And Kenny kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the two-year lease on the Lexus because I'm keeping the car. So, you know, that was fun, and I thought that it kind of showed that connection between player and caddy. They're buddies. Kevin treats Kenny like his older brother. You know, it's just fun stuff. And then, you know, I look at Aaron Fleener, who's really one of the younger guys out there. He caddies for JT Poston. They won the Wyndham Championship, which was the last event before the PGA Tour playoffs last year. And Fleener, I mean, he is a riot. Every time he puts something up, it's hysterical. He did this last year. JT Poston got into the PGA Championship at the very last minute. And as you know, it was out in Long Island at Bethpage Black.
Yep.
Hotels were on at a premium. You know, it was impossible to get a room last minute. But JT's agency was able to book a room. The only thing was Aaron and JT had to stay together for the week, which is not typical of players and caddies on the PGA Tour. So Aaron gave me a call and he said, you know, I really want to do this video for you that I think is going to be pretty funny if you don't mind. He said, kind of let me run with it. I'll send it to you. You tell me what you think. So, you know, about 10 minutes later, I get this video from Aaron where JT Poston is actually shooting the video, and Aaron says, I want to do a little version of MTV Cribs. And he says, you know, as everybody knows, we got into this tournament last minute. Rooms were hard to come by, so we're sticking together. Let me show you where JT's staying this week. And he shows this lovely king-size bed, beautiful big bedroom. And then Aaron says, now let me show you where I'm staying. And he says, here, it's a pull-out couch. And he said, you know, folks, in case you're wondering, is that the kind of pull-out couch that has the springs that stick in your back while you're trying to sleep? As a matter of fact, it is. And then he brings you over to the cupboards, he opens those up, and he's using the cupboards as his drawers for the week. So he's got, you know, his shorts, his shirt, his hat. It is just hysterical. So, I mean, you know, again, just that sense of humor from these guys, and I just love it. I think we've really had the chance to tell a lot of these stories so far on the Caddy Network. We have plenty more coming. And it's just a look at the other side of the bag.
Yeah, and what I said this when this started. I remember the first time when I first met you and you started coming on Backspin Golf with me, and it was PGA.com, and you were doing all the digital stuff. And I remember when the Caddy Network started, and we talked then about how everybody that loves golf knows stories or is interested or fascinated sometimes with the caddy part of it, if they've ever had a caddy. Because if you have, I mean, I played at Royal Birkdale, and the biggest memory I have is not the golf course. It's the caddy that I had that day and what it meant to me. And so the Caddy Network, it's just such a great thing And you do an amazing job with it. I'm just, you know, I tell you that all the time. But
you know, I appreciate it, Matthew. And I would just say, you know, trips like yours for Royal Birkdale, you know, we had a buddy of mine that you may or may not know in the industry, John Kim, who used to be a colleague of mine at PGA.com. And
I know of him, certainly.
Yeah, he does some great work now at U.S. Kids Golf, and yep. occasionally he contributes to the Caddy Network for us. And I've probably played more golf with John than anybody other than my dad and brother wow. in my life, just from all the great trips that we've been on together. And, you know, I had asked John if he could put together a story for me earlier last year about, you know, reasons to consider taking a caddy, because I think we all understand, you know, it costs a little extra.
Right.
Everybody doesn't have the money to go take a caddy. But when you mention rounds like Royal Birkdale, those bucket list rounds, people are just doing themselves such a disservice not to take a caddy. Get the local knowledge, learn more about the course and where you are, and then come home with some just fantastic one-liners, you know, like
yeah.
heard stories about guys over playing in Scotland where, you know, guy hits it way right into the fescue off the tee, and the caddy will tell him, you know, Lassie couldn't find that ball if it had bacon wrapped around it.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that that's fun that you can take back to your favorite foursome when you get home.
Yeah, well, real quickly, I got to 18 at Royal Birkdale with that iconic clubhouse behind the green, and I was in the front right bunker, and the pin was all the way back left on this very big green, and I'm horrible out of bunkers. And I got in there, and my caddy gave me a little tip, and he said, okay, and do this and do that. And I hit the best, not only bunker shot, maybe the best golf shot I've ever hit, to about 2 inches from the hole. And it was probably a 30-yard bunker shot. And he came down into the bunker with me as he started to rake, and he said, every time you watch the Open Championship from Birkdale, pros, the best players in the world, will not hit a shot as good as you just hit. And
I mean,
I get choked up thinking about it, because it's every time I've watched the Open from Birkdale, that's my thought. And it was that caddy that said it to me.
Yeah, I mean, they have a way of saying just the right thing at just the right time. And, you know, it really is fascinating. I mean, I've been lucky enough to go out to Bandon Dunes and take the caddy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just the insight of the place and telling you about certain trees on the property and the meaning of them and mm-hmm. how that played into the routing of one of the courses. And it is amazing. It's a lot of fun.
Yep. Finally, in the couple minutes we got left, there's something else on Twitter, on your Twitter feed, at TJ Auclair, AUCLAIR. Talk to us for a couple minutes about the caddies. This thing about the Masters being postponed, and we're all praying that if it's in September, fine. Whenever it's going to be, we just want to play it. But we're thinking now about the caddies who have never been there before, and it's postponed. And for them, it's a big letdown right now.
You know, Matthew, it is, and I feel like there's been such this shift in just the last 7 days. So when the news broke Friday morning last week that the Masters would be postponed, I heard from caddies, first-timers, that were obviously very disappointed.
You know,
they want to get their experience, that whole thing. And I think the magnitude of how serious this thing is that's going on right now in our world, they understand that day is going to come. We don't know when it's going to be. I mean,
right.
I'm sure you've seen the rumors on Twitter, too, about these crazy bookings that seem to be happening in Augusta for the first week in October.
Yeah.
Whether that comes to fruition or not, I don't know. But I think, you know, once guys kind of got over that and started realizing how much more serious this other stuff is, it's sort of on the back burner. So I think, yeah, of course, we all want to see the Masters, but I don't think any of us right now want to see any sporting events until we know that everybody's in the clear and nobody's going to be, you know, impacted by what's going on.
Absolutely. You're always so great, and someday you and I will tee it up together. I have a bucket list of all my friends that I feel so close to now that I've never played golf with, and you're certainly one of them. And thank you for doing such a great job with the Caddy Network and for being with us on Backspin Golf always.
It's always a pleasure, Matthew. Thanks. I always look forward to talking to you.
Thanks, pal. See ya.
All right. Take care. Bye.
TJ Auclair. And I'm telling you, just go to thecaddynetwork.com. or at Caddy Network on Twitter, and read, you got some time, read some of these stories, look at some of these videos. They're fantastic. All right. We'll be back next Sunday, hopefully after having played some golf, and everybody stay safe. Thanks always to our partners on Backspin Golf, and especially now. We're very grateful to them. Our incredible courses, Lexington Parks and Rec, our five great golf courses, and how important they are always, but especially now, as we've been talking about all show. You can get out and play golf. Do it if you can, if the rain ever lets up. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a week with no rain? We can do that. So those great golf courses. French Lick Resort. Go to their website. Check out everything that's on their website. Everybody is different in the way they're handling this. So always make sure to check ahead. But our favorite resort anywhere. Edwin Watts Golf, check with them. There are still places around like Edwin Watts. Just check their website, give them a call, make sure they're open, see what's going on. Man of War Golf, peeps, this is the time. This is the time. Go practice. Perry French talked about working on your short game, your chipping, your putting. You can keep social distancing going and work on your golf game. And, of course, Dan Cummins out in Paris and Georgetown. Same thing. Go to dancummins.com. You can get all the information. You can buy one of the incredible vehicles from Dan Cummins and do it online with virtual tours. They will walk you through everything, almost like being there. They have amazing deals going on. Go to dancummins.com and check them out. All right, and we'll be back next Sunday, 8:03 a.m. tee time. As always, thanks for listening. Have a safe, wonderful day. This is Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.